Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
It's Thursday and it's Paula Price Show Day. Dr. Price, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, it is Thursday, and I am thanking you for welcoming me. I'm glad to be on the show. You know, I look forward to Thursday. So all of you who are calling in and listening in, if I sound redundant, it's because I feel the same way every week. I enjoy doing this. This is a lot of fun, but it's also a very exciting thing. It blesses me to be able to meet the body of Christ, even if I don't get a chance to talk to them. You know, actually, I get a chance to feel their presence, and I like how we're growing every week and we're getting more and more callers and you know, the word's getting out, but I get to touch the people of God. When I was in early days of ministry, that's what I used to think. I would see the people doing those prophetic presbyteries and all of that, and I thought, well, gee, that's really nice. But that 10 seconds, to me, always just opened up the problem. I don't know if it ever helped me. You know, even if you got somebody that gave you a, you know, 3-5 minute word, and if you have dealt with a lot of the pastors out here, they don't want you to spend too much time with one person because they want more people blessed in their church. Well, I'm excited because I get the chance to do this. This is uplifting and encouraging to me because I get a chance to talk to people, to ask the questions, to pray them through, to really minister to them, and I think that is the best part of what we do on Thursdays. Actually, we get a chance to touch God's people in an amazing way. So what's going on, Ashley, as far as you're going? What do you have going on there for me today? I know you've been planning stuff. You plan it every week.
Ha, 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 ha. Well, you definitely have callers on the line. And so I was thinking maybe today you could pray for some folks, maybe an exhortation or an admonishment. You've been laying us out every week, and we need it. We need it. We need it, the wisdom. I love this show for the diversity. You're not just a prophecy mill or a prayer mill, pray for people pushing through, pushing through, pushing through. But, excuse me, we get to hear from God, hear what he is saying to the whole body of Christ, as well as deal with the individual needs.
Exactly. And, you know, interesting, the Lord is ready to deal with his body. He's ready to move. He's ready to bless. I've been talking with him all week long about this. And, you know, God wants to bless us. And he wants to do things for us. I mean, because that's in the covenant. You know, I know the thoughts that I have of you, says the Lord, to do you, you know, good and not evil, you know, to give you a future, to hope. And God wants us to have that. And it sounds, sometimes when we look at the economy, we look at the job situation and job market, we look at the struggles and all of the things that the body of Christ is going through at the time, we get a little bit concerned. I woke up this morning and God said, I want to talk about blaming God.
Oh,
you know, I know, right? You know, leave it to Jesus to go right to the heart of the matter, you know, but then if you're going to be the, you know, if you're going to be the word, you're going to be good at words. And so he's got us going there. And you know, when you watch or look at so many shows and movies or read articles and whatever, and, you know, bad things happen or even just undesirable things happen to people, they blame God. And as a matter of fact, the sinner blames God like the saint. And the saint, the sinner, they can blame God all the same. And so, you know, you have all these people who don't believe in God or either they don't really think that highly of him, but still when things happen, they blame God. And so God wanted to talk about that today. And I would like to just kind of touch into that subject. You know, a lot of times when you hear people blame God, well, you know, the Lord did this or the Lord did that and the Lord did this and the Lord did that. You know, in the broadest abstract sense of the word, yes, God is responsible for everything because he brought it into existence. He set up the system. He created it. You know, it says he wrote every day for every life before it was born, long before we got into planet Earth, he'd already had a plan. So in that real broad, abstract sense, yes. Now, before I go forward, I want to say this. Jesus told us before he left the planet that he said, woe to the world for offenses must come. there are things that just happen to the world as a consequence of things that have to come to pass. So if you're taking notes, just write that down. That might be something that, you know, you want to remember, because he said that. He never told us. I know we preach it, that it's supposed to be great and it's supposed to be rosy and, you know, God is just waiting up there and he's like this great big, you know, Candyland God, you know, whatever you ask, he's the yes man and whatever. And so we tell people that, and we give people a lot of consolations when they are suffering. And, you know, that's not a judgment on that. I think that, you know, if it makes somebody feel good about something and you want to, you think that's helpful, okay, we'll just, you know, overlook that, because there are a lot of things God just overlooks. So Paul said it, Luke wrote it, and Paul said it in Acts. God winks at a lot of things. Well, he has to, because he's perfect. We're not. And if he didn't wink and overlook at some things, he wouldn't have anybody down here. Well, so it'd be an empty planet. But so let's say, woe to the world, because offenses must come. That's number one. Number two, the scripture tells us that there's nothing to come upon either of us or any of us other than what is common to man. Peter adds, you know, thinking not strange, the fiery trial which is to test you. Hebrews has the most staggering thing that we hardly ever hear preached, and that is that God scourges, chastens every child he receives. When we come to God, he's going to start correcting stuff. Why? Well, the whole idea is not to do what we've been doing, and that is stopping at the correcting or the chastening or the scourging or whatever. That's not the point. The point is, why would he do that? I mean, what's in it for God? What is it? What's in it for God that you go through or you suffer or we go through or the earth not? What's in it for him? What is he dealing with? Because it is the answer to that question that explains it. So now we have a crisis. Well, God did this, and God caused this to happen, and God caused that to happen. And again, in the broadest sense, being Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending, first and last, yes. But in the everyday routine of life, we have a lot, he has given us a lot more latitude and liberty in our lives, particularly in the highly developed countries, than we imagine. You know, when you think about it, God does not drop out of school. You do. God doesn't drop the programs that we're in. You do. God doesn't sign on the dotted line for the debt that we're in. We sign. He doesn't do any of those things. God does not walk up and down the street and shoot people. We got evil folk who refuse to obey it. God, I mean, think about all of the laws that we have made. Think about it. All the laws that we've made, and yet people will blame God for world hunger when people are selfish. We've got nations like this, they would rather burn food than to tip the scales of balance or to have everybody fed or whatever you want to do. You know, there's a lot that we blame God for that you have to go back and take responsibility for in your life. You made the decision. I made the decision. I chose not to go to work today. I didn't hear God, so I didn't go to work, and hey, I lost my job. I should have gone. I didn't go. I chose to just blow off some counsel. I chose to blow off advice, whatever. God did something for us that he hadn't done for any other group other than his people, and that is he wrote down how to get along with him. How to get along, the Bible is how to get along in God's world with God and his enemies. You know, that's scripture. How do I get along with God in God's world with God and his enemies? He wrote in Deuteronomy, he said, listen, if this is your wisdom. My words are your wisdom. You follow my words, it's going to go well with you and your children's children for generations after generations after generations. And so when I listen to these shows and, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to blame God because, you know, our kid decided to run out and not come home. Our kid decided to go to a drug party and die. They decided to steal a car. Our husband decided to have this extramarital affair. I decided to do whatever. Understand decisions. Decisions exist because there are two options. The reason we have the power or privilege of decisions is because we have options. There are alternatives. Choices, and we don't want to do it in the church. And I think in the church it bothers me so much because so few Christians who have walked with the Lord for 20, 25 years, you know, 5 years, 3 years, it doesn't matter, but who have walked with God and have gotten to know him still refuse to take responsibility for our choices. We enjoy our privileges. We appropriate our privileges indiscriminately sometimes. We can thank God for a new car in one breath and turn around and get mad at him for stumping our toe in the second breath. And the same thing. Because we have not, we've not heard from our pulpit that we do have power. You know, God says over and over again, Jesus used the phrase, whosoever will, if you will, when you will. What is he saying? We're working with your free will. We're working with your choice. Now, listen, we make our decisions. They turn out great, we celebrate. They turn out bad, we fix them. But we take responsibility. The whole cross was God taking responsibility for his decision that he made way back in Genesis when he said, let us make man. He took the cross, Calvary, God taking responsibility for the outcome. He made the decision, decided, well, you know, when this happens, so-and-so is going to happen, or this is likely the consequence. Well, you know, when you do this, these things are going to happen. What are we going to do then? Well, when we do that, we're going to go on through, and we're going to finish it. What did he say when you read the parable of the wheat and tares? That's God taking responsibility. He said, we're going to let them grow together. We want some wheat, but we're realistic. There's some tares going to grow up in there, so we're not going to lose a piece of wheat because of a tare. So we'll let them both grow together, and when it is clear who's who, then we'll separate them, and we'll filter them. And so God is saying to some of us today, as we are sitting here listening, I am not your scapegoat. I'm not going to be your scapegoat because you don't want to wait on my word. You don't want to think about me. You don't want to ask me what I would do. And if I tell you, you don't want to do it because it doesn't line up with what you want. Have an adult mentality. God spoke to me about this about 3 years ago. He said, I'm starting now to demand adulthood of my children, maturity, like we do. When we said a perfect man or mature man in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, you know, in the height and stature, that God, Jesus takes responsibility for his life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, how does he do it? Number one, he thinks. He doesn't just feel. We feel, and then we think. As a matter of fact, Jesus thinks and rethinks. We feel, and then we might think. Mostly we feel, and then we feel again. First we felt good about it, now we feel angry. But he thinks. The first thing you want to do is ask yourself, is this the best decision for me? We have all of these marriage issues, all of these romance issues, all of these relational issues, job issues, all of this stuff, and we're upset. We will marry somebody and say, God told us to marry this person because it's what we wanted, because we're not even emotionally honest with ourselves. And then we blame God because he didn't break our will on something that he knew would turn out bad for us, even though we didn't care what the risks were. If you're going to take risks, then be responsible and acknowledge I'm a risk taker. Sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm not. Gamblers, what are gamblers? Gamblers will tell you, I live for risk. I'm a risk taker. Many of us live our lives like that. We live our lives like it's one great big casino. We're just taking risk after risk after risk, but then we want to get mad with God because it didn't turn out the way we thought it should or the way we intended for it to turn out when we made the decision. And I hear God saying to us, but I need you to be adults now. I need you to recognize that you have great power in your hands. You've got great privilege. The Holy Spirit came to give us the will to serve God and the will to refuse him, the will to do right and the will to do wrong. All of that other, those other decisions, whatever, they may work out when we get before the judgment seat of Christ. But right now, it's in your hands. Your will is in your hands. You don't have to marry the wrong people. You have to decide whether or not you want to be married at all costs or whether you want to have the discipline and the prudence to wait for the right person. You don't have to move just because somebody told you to move. You don't have to quit a job just because you got angry with your boss. You realize that. You don't have to break up with your best friend just because your feelings are hurt. Ask yourself, how many times do I make literally traumatic decisions, very dramatic decisions, impactful decisions because of a feeling in the moment? And then once you make it, then you have to double your will to be right, because you don't want anybody to know you're wrong. Now, this is for the people who didn't make the call today, all right? But you don't want anyone to know you're wrong. So you're not, now you're not even going to go back and say, I messed up, or I shouldn't have done it, or I'm sorry, Pastor, that was, I don't know what I was thinking. None of those things. We are terrible at being peacemakers. Yet we say we serve and we're children of the Prince of Peace. But think about it. The first person you need to make peace with is your God. Second one is you. You have to make peace with you, who you are, what you like. If you want success in life, you're going to have to be confrontational with you. We are very confrontational with others, but confronting you. How do I think? How do I feel? What am I trying to handle here? Those are some of the things that God would like us to do instead of just blaming him because it's not working. We blame God. First thing we want to do is we attack his church. We attack his leaders. You know, now remember, now God is hearing it from the unsaved folk. Well, you know, that's why I don't go to church, because all Christians are hypocrites. Are you kidding me? Can you imagine the hypocrite telling you you're a hypocrite? And so you wouldn't go to church if there wasn't a hypocrite. You wouldn't go to church if God rained down all of the glory in the world on you because you don't like him. That's fine. But we, his children, have got to set a better example and a better standard. We have got to do better with our God. We got to do better with God. If I had to say, what would be the word today? Let's all work out how we can do better with God, how we can treat him better, manifest him better, represent him better. That's what doing better is, treating him better, manifesting him better, and representing him better. We've got to make up our minds to be adults. If we want to be like Jesus, being like Jesus is not just being passive. You know, I think about it, those things, well, what would Jesus do? I thought that was a cute little campaign that came from no place and went nowhere. But it was still ended up being a nice little buzzword. But do we really know him as he is? Jesus never blamed his father for anything. Never. Never did. When they pushed him, when they fought him, when they ignored him, rejected him, he never said, hard as I'm working for you, Dad, and as much as I'm going through for you, and you're not here stopping these people from pushing me, and you're not stopping them from lying on me and slandering me. He said, no. He said, I came to a planet knowing that's what it was made of, knowing that's what it did, but I came to bring something to this planet from my Father, and that's what I'm staying on. He never got off task. We're talking about being like Jesus. Jesus never did. He never, ever, one time said it was God. On the cross, he's dying. Nevertheless, not my will, thy will. Okay, Father, into your hands, I commend my sin. Okay, never did. Jesus never forgot his identity as the Son of God, and he didn't treat it as if it was something that was forced upon him that he would, if he could get out of, he would. He was never begrudging about being God's offspring. Never bothered him. He took great pleasure in it. Now, he knew it was going to make him a target. He knew it put a great big mark on his face. He understood that. But he said, in the end, I know something about my Father and his world and his kingdom you don't know. I'm in this planet to share that, not to share with you all of your issues with him, but to share with you the truth about my Father who is in heaven. And that's maturity, folks. We have got to move into the maturity. People have been telling us to grow up. They haven't told us how. They just said, well, you know, you just need to grow up in God. Well, what is being grown up in God? Being grown up in God is, number one, he says, sanctify God in your heart. You can't lump God with your problems. You can't lump him as part of your enemies. You can't lump him into all of those other things because God is not that. You know? You're standing in court, you're going in a court case, and you're fussing with God. Well, you know the Lord, he just, this is what the Lord did. He didn't even fight for me. God didn't sign those contracts. You signed them. You have to take I signed them. Now, I had an option. I had an option to sign and not sign. I chose to sign. Now, should I have looked into it deeper? Yes. All of those kinds of things are what give you power in God, because God's power comes from truth and righteousness. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes. But that's the whole blessedness of being a mature person. You recognize a mistake as a mistake. And then you deal with it as a mistake. You don't just keep redoing it and redoing it just because you had the privilege of making it. And that is where God is for us today. Jesus understood that. He said he understood what was God and what wasn't. He didn't even think about that. You know, people always ask, well, what's truth? You know, I don't know. I don't know what truth is. So, you know, or as we talked in church on Sunday, what are absolutes? All of those kinds of things that Christians buy into their kind of nonsense. Truth is whatever God said. If he's the alpha, truth is the first. You know, before you can minus something, it has to be something. Then you minus it. Otherwise, if you're minusing it, it never was. What are we talking? And so God is telling us today, stop blaming me for your decisions just because I love you enough and I trust you enough to make your decisions. Do you realize that's a trust? When God doesn't trust you to make a decision, he sovereignly preempts it. And he sovereignly precludes you from having a part in it one way or the other. If he allows you to do these things, he's trusting you, and he's trusting the free will that he has purchased for you with the blood of his son to make the right choices or to make the wrong choices and to learn from them. That is a trust. That's not a judgment. That's a trust. God trusts you to make right decisions. And then he also trusts you at the same time to learn from the wrong one, because that is what he had to do. We have a privilege of learning to make life work the way God had to learn to make it work. He didn't always start out with this great big kingdom, because if he did, then things wouldn't be coming forth, emerging. But he learned wisdom. He learned it, and he made it his point to register the things that he did that worked and the things that he did that didn't. He registered what caused him to get stronger and what made him weaker. He registered that over and over again throughout the eons that it took for him to master what he brought into existence. That's a powerful statement I just said. What are you doing to master what you're bringing into existence? And what are you doing to prepare yourself to perfect it once you bring it into existence? We want to throw it away. I'm out. You know, I mean, this kid, I want to throw my kid away. Okay, my brother, I want to throw my brother away. I thought God told me to bring my brother to my house, or maybe he didn't. I'm out. You out. You got to go. That's too much trouble. Everything is too much trouble. And if that's how you think, then you ought not to be deciding on things that are bigger than your emotional fortitude to handle. And so God wants us to be as emotionally integrous as we are morally and as we are socially and civilly. You know, a lot of us are ethical in our citizenship. You know, we're going to pay our taxes. We're not going to run the light, all of that. And we're proud of that integrity. That's great. Don't give it up. Some more are most morally ethical. You know, we're going to be righteous in our morality. We're not going to cheat. We're not going to lie, steal, and all of that. But there is a place that God is going in the body of Christ today called emotional integrity. That is, can people trust your emotions with their secrets, with their beliefs, with their belongings, with their needs, with their strengths, with their weaknesses, with their successes and failures? As a pastor, I learned that. I said I've had the privilege of pastoring some of the most wonderful people whose emotions could not be trusted. Now, how do you conclude that? When you say, I can't let so-and-so see this because he will react this way, he will behave this way, he will think this way. And so you want to work on your emotional integrity as well. Can people trust you with their failures and their successes? You know, in leadership, that's a key factor for a leader. You know, how well can your people trust you with what they know and what they don't know, with their knowledges and their ignorances? Can they trust you with that to get the response that is going to bring out the best in them, and not humiliation, not embarrassment, not demeaning and belittling? See, I see it. Or can people trust you with their weaknesses or their decision not to be aggressive? Or are you going to take advantage of that by constantly abusing your position in their life and abusing your office? That happens. Abusing your authority. That happens. All of that is what we have to do in terms of developing strong emotional integrity. Because a lot of us, we can withhold our mouth. So we'll have our behavior and conduct intact. You know, we'll restrain that. We won't say it, but it won't stop us from thinking it. It won't stop us from feeling it and acting on those feelings destructively or at least ineffectively. And that's what we do with God. You know, God is the first place to build your emotional integrity because you have nobody knows what goes on between you and the Lord. And he's with you 24/7. He's with you when you think about him. He's with you when you don't want to think about him. He doesn't go anywhere. God just, he's glued himself to his creation, can't go. And so, but he knows if you think properly about the Lord, you will think properly about others. And if you can think from your strength, then you will act from your strength. And if you can feel from your strength, most of us, our emotions are used to give us permission to act from our weaknesses, to act from our deficits, and not our strengths. So, you know, that's why when we talk about God being love, and I'll end it on this, we'll say God is love. Well, what do we mean? We don't mean God is love because that's the most powerful thing in the world. We mean God is love, so that means that he is indulgent, he's permissive, his love is going to cause him to overlook this, he's going to tolerate this, he's going to be able to, we can abuse him, we can insult him, we can do all those kind of things, but because he loves us. So we literally mean for God to be hostage to our weak will because of his love for us. And in many cases, he does that. He does it, but that's a decision on his part. He is not without alternatives and options. He decides, you don't know what you're doing. I know you don't know what you're doing, so I'm going to step back and let you walk that out. You don't know tomorrow. I know the end of your life, so I'm going to step back and let you walk that out. And God is not ignoring you in your crises. He is observing you. He is fusing his thoughts and his wisdom with yours for you to discover how to succeed in life. But understand, make no mistake about it, everything God does and everything he doesn't do, everything he allows and everything he restricts is because he wants you to master living life his way in your world. And if you master life his way in your world, then you can do nothing but thrive when he brings you into his world to live life his way. See, we think that when we get to heaven, we're all going to suddenly want to live like God. That's not true. You're not going to want to live like God any more in heaven than you do here because your body is going to be in the dust. But the reason you didn't use your body for his glory, it's gone with you. So he says to tell you today, number one, stop blaming me. You made those decisions. I honored it. I trusted you with free will. It's a trust. It is a trust. It's not even just a right, because if it was a right, everybody would have it. That means everybody would have equal will, equal. So we wouldn't even have people who were sick. People wouldn't be too little, too weak, too strong. We'd all be the same. No, it's a trust, because anything God doesn't want you to do, he intervenes and stops it. So he allowed you. He trusted you to run your life. He trusted you to learn what you needed to learn to succeed. He trusted you to, and still continues to trust you to work through your trials and errors to come up with the best decision. Why? Because he's allowing you to stock your own soul with his wisdom. And that's a decision. And wisdom comes from living, nothing else. You can get knowledge from a book. You can get information from hearing. But when it comes to wisdom, you got to live it out. And wisdom is a different kind of learning. It's learning from living. And so he trusts you with that. He trusted you to make a decision. He trusted you to blow up. How many times have we said, "But God, why didn't you stop me?" Because I trust you to blow up and to find out why that doesn't work. Because then you will use your will to increase your self-restraint, to restrain yourself. Because you'll find out, you know, it's nice giving people a piece of your mind. But when you walk away, all they remember is that piece. And that peace that you have left them with is how they're going to deal with you from then on. So I want you to learn that. And so God wants to tell us, I'm trusting you to do it. And you cannot blame me because I trusted you to make decisions. I trusted you to learn from your mistakes. I trusted you to learn from somebody else's mistakes. Solomon says in Proverbs, the righteous will see and fear. I trusted you to learn. And so today as we go forward as mature adult children of the King, let us do better with our trust, because your free will to say no, your will to say yes, are trust that God gives you. He does not want to live your life for you. He wants you to live your life with his resources. He wants to manifest his excellence through you, but he wants you to manifest it in a way that makes your life work, even in your heartbreaks, even in your losses, even in your setbacks, understand there's a trust, because you cannot act like God doesn't know what it is to lose when he lost everything in Eden and he had to win it back. He counted his cost, he suffered the loss, and then he worked on winning it back and recovering it. He's the first master recoverer. And, and as meticulous as it was, and he certainly had a lot more than a job to win back, he mastered it. We know he mastered it because there's you and there's me in his name on the planet today. And so God said, I want you to take your cues from my example. And remember, I trust you. Don't blame me, because I trusted you to master your life. Hallelujah. Are you there, Ashley?
Well, am I? help us, Lord. That's good. That's heavy. And you know why it's heavy? Because it's not, some deep, convoluted, spiritual something that we need to go to three prophets to discern. It hits right at home, right between the eyes, right there. Where most of us are with God and with our lives, not where was God and what did he do and what didn't he do, but where were you and what did you do with what you had? And, okay, you suffered loss. It's the human experience. Well, as we see, it's just the experience, because God experienced it first. And what are you doing with that? I remember something you said to us years ago, Dr. Price, when you mentioned about God being love and how we just want love to be laid down like a floor mat. Well, God is love, so we should be able to wipe our feet all over him, and he should still love us. Years ago, when you were teaching us standards and maintaining levels of excellence, you said, you know, why is it that every time I have to acquiesce to your standards, you are dropping mine? You're not coming up. You are lowering the bar. And that particular question has stuck with me for a long time of what am I really asking people? And at this point, what am I really asking God when I'm like, come on, Lord, just work with me. I'm just trying. I'm just doing this. I'm just doing that. Or the people around me or whomever it may be. Because having to accept the fact that am I asking them to come up to a certain level, or am I really asking them to drop their standards to something that I am not, because I'm not willing to press myself. I'm not willing to maintain the standard. I'm just not willing to do it. I mean, we could wrap a whole lot of excuses around a whole lot of things, but probably at the end of the day, it's just our steely will that we are worshiping and not really submitting ourselves to the process and submitting ourselves to the standard that God has set. So there were some ouch moments, some good ouch moments, because it's a reminder. I know that this exhortation, admonishment, thanking, encouragement thing that just happened is for all of those things, really for our edification and for our strengthening.
And indeed it is. And the thing that I would like to leave everyone with is that it's not for destruction. You know, Paul said, our authority is for edification and not destruction. The reason God is, listen, the reason we go through this is because of edification. Edification means a building, a structure, you know, an institution, something. God is saying to us, I mean, it comes from the word edifice, for those ornate buildings that we love and those powerful skyscrapers that we build. But God has said, but there are rules to making things that you build last. There are rules to endurance. There are rules for durability. There are rules for permanence. There are rules for prosperity. God is saying, I can have you, think about it, how many people win the lottery or win money at these casinos, and I mean, for 30 days, they're on top of it all, and it's gone. Why? There were no rules. They didn't follow any rules for longevity, you know, or extenuation. They lived in the moment. And even though you live in the moment, I love when the people say, oh, I'm living in the moment. No, you're not, because by the time you got those words out your mouth, the moment was gone. So you're still not living in the moment. Everything you do is in the moment. If it's in the moment, then guess what? That moment is gone before you're done. Now you're living in another moment, which means what you're doing today, you are already decreed by your mouth. You're living in the future, because you can't ever live still in time. Time doesn't stand still. And so God wants us to think bigger, but he wants us to think down the line, not because he wants us afraid of him. The last thing he wants is for us to be afraid of him. What he wants is for us to be like him. That is powerful. I want you to be like me. I found out how it is. I found out how to be strong, how to maintain my strength. I found out how to keep what is given to me. I discovered the secret of this and the mysteries of that. I broke the seal on these things myself, and then I recorded them for you so that you would be partakers in my excellence. It's not a grudging thing. You know, I can go into the next one. We'll talk about this in another session. But nobody wants you at your worst but Satan, because he's at his worst, because his best lost his place. And so now he has to institutionalize the least and the worst. So that's what he's selling us. So it sounds like God is so hard. Oh, he's so good. Oh, it's so difficult. Oh, my God. Well, the only other thing you're going to be is his enemy. You don't have the one option. You know, and his enemy has lost his battle. So he's good at being the worst of God's work. He's good at bringing out the worst in people. He's good at making the worst product, the worst result. He's good at making you desire the worst result, which is why most of our cultures and fads today are about destruction. Why? Because God took from him forever the power of being the best. And that's the part that we don't want to know. So when you start talking about how difficult God is and, oh, this is hard and all that, that's not really you. That's not even who you are. You are made of the best stuff. God did not lock you into his worst. He gave you his best resources, and now he's telling you how to make them work. And those aren't judgments. Those are developments. He's not judging you at all. He's developing you, and he's pruning and purging the same way you would do if you were an athlete or a typist or a student or any kind of master. You have to purge out the weak so that you are left with the strong. You have to extract the flawed so you're left with the best. You have to discover the defects and then work on them so that they become what's perfection in you. That's being developed. And I want the church to learn the difference between God's judgment and his development. And that's something that we who teach, we who are apostles and prophets, fivefolders and ministers in the body of Christ, we need to reset our language. Because we've given, you know, even when you say, you know, when we say chastening, no, God is instructing. We need to know the difference. He's developing you to succeed. He doesn't want you to be like him because he has this whole egomaniacal thing going on. He wants you to succeed the way he learned to succeed. He wants to be able to release those things to you that he's been hiding until you're ready to keep them. He wants to be able to go into his vault for your life and bring out his best treasures, his best achievements, his best opportunities. But right now, we're all living on the maintenance of the Holy Ghost. He's just maintaining. We're in custodial care. Because he has to get us in a place that he doesn't lose what he treasures to darkness, because we don't have the strength, the fortitude, or the wisdom to keep it. That's what I wanted to leave everybody with today, Ashley. He just woke up and he said, you know, if you stop blaming me, I can finish developing you and make you powerful enough to be a great model, a great example of what it is to trust God completely. You know, we have so etherealized this thing that all of our cliches and buzzwords, we don't expect any power to come from at all. But today he's saying, I need you to want to be like me as I am, not just morally. Most of our judgments, our reaction to God is on moral judgments. I'm not asking you to just be morally like me. I'm asking you to be totally like me, mentally, intellectually, physically, emotionally, psychologically, as well as morally and ethically. I need you to want to be like me to find out why I can uphold all things with the power of my word. I want to teach you how to uphold your life with the power of your word. Hallelujah. Well, Ashley, did you hang up?
Oh, no. I'm still here.
Do we still have people on the line?
We do.
Woo! Well, I had a great time. Huh?
Plenty of people on the line.
Ah, hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, I'm ready to talk with them, but I did want us to do that. Everybody listening today, say, what do I take away from this? Just say, stop calling God's development judgment. He's developing us, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to make us his best. That's great. All right, give me a call. Who you got, Ashley?
All right. I have Pam from Georgia. on the line today, and she is calling about her job search. Pam, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Good morning, or good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. And for us, it's still about 20 minutes into morning, so if not, you love the time changes. How are you doing today, Pam?
I'm doing well, and thank you so much for the exhortation, words of encouragement. I'm just taking a Selah, more than a Selah moment. This is something I can chew on for a long time, what you just said. And it's actually like you took the words out of my mouth. So I'm calling about my job search. I spoke to you about a month ago, so I'm checking in, and I didn't know I would be number one, caller number one, but I am so thrilled and excited. I'm standing on the wall. You know, I am no longer taking care of my friend. She has a new caregiver. All is going well. So I'm more focused now on being strategic about aiming for an assignment that I can manifest his excellence. You know, I have a lot of skills and talents and experience, 20-plus years experience, and done my own business. But right now I'm on an assignment or a position that will propel me to the next level. I've kind of detoured doing things for others, helping others with their business, being a CEO of this, that, and the other. And I really, you know, I take ownership in believing that I've kind of put my life on hold, pressed the pause button, but now it's on play. So I'm at the point now that I want to make sure that I'm lined up with God and where he wants me to go. So I feel like there's many different directions I can go to do support work, but I want to aim higher. I really feel like he wants me to aim higher and be in a position to use all my skills and talents at a level that not only can display his excellence, but to get back to where I should be, make up for lost time.
Yeah. And trust me, it sounds like you, Pam, have a lot of lost time to make up for, you know?
Yes.
Wasn't that a long journey? Because that was a long journey for you, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a long journey along the way, but at the same time, I take full responsibility for the decision I made, and it's almost like the children in Israel, like, wow, why is it taking so long? And it's not necessarily that the journey, the destination to get to point A, from A to B, was long. It's just that what was going, our decision, my decision, made me stay longer.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you a couple of things. Yeah, I love that example that you use, because often I have said to people, it's not the destination that held you up. It was the transformation to inherit.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get confused, you know, and so God has a destiny for us. That's right. And destiny is just the end result of our destination. We are in progress. But along the way, God purged and changed and quickened and eliminated a lot of things in that group before he brought them to Jericho. And by the time they got to Jericho, they were a whole different group of people. They only had two old-timers, Jacob, Caleb, and Joshua. So for us, I think it's the same thing, that God has the destination in mind for you, but along the way, he wasn't leaving you. You know, he was working on your heart. He was getting you ready, purging some things, eliminating some other things, even in that experience, having you get that thing out of you that causes you to maybe stall, if not sabotage, your own future. You know, I know I lived, you know, where God sometimes has to put us in situations that drain us dry. So that we can strain out of our character and strain out of our sentiments and our emotionality that which keeps stalling what he wants us to do in life. And so, you know, now that you're ready to go forward, you have to find out if that thing is really gone. And that's going to be fun. So, and I'm saying this for a reason, because that means, Pam, that it's going to take you a little bit. You're not just going to jump back in it. It's like the person who used to, you know, used to lift weights and work out five times a week, and then all of a sudden 5 years go by for whatever reason, you don't do it. You don't jump right back in. You've got to work back up to where you stopped, and then from that stop point, look at going forward. So be patient with yourself is my point, and don't beat yourself. Okay, don't beat yourself. Let me just say this: just because we know how to take responsibility for ourselves, God does not need us to condemn ourselves. The fact that you take responsibility is all he's looking for. Just acknowledge so you're open to the wisdom of correction. That's why we acknowledge, that we will be open to the wisdom of correction. You know, Not, oh, okay, now, God, I'm under the ground. Oh, Lord, I'm never going to, You can't unscramble an egg. That just will never happen. The best you can do is make a chicken omelet. So it's time for you to make an omelet. And I believe you're going to make some, make an awesome omelet, but even that takes work and time. So that's the first thing I want to tell you. Secondly, you said something that I thought was very interesting, and I had that. Pam, let me ask you, have you taken my assessment yet?
Yes, I did. I took it last year.
Last year. Did you get an advisement or anything?
Yes, I did, and I looked at that the other day, so I was going to follow up with your office.
Good. You need to get back in touch with that advisor because you need a little more guidance to kind of sort through the murkiness that you're coming out of. But having said that, I for years was like that. I had, when you said like all of these gifts, I can do so many things, and I have so much experience, and you do. You sound like an extraordinarily intelligent woman. I look forward to the day that we will meet. You know, I think you're a lady I'd like to sit down and have coffee with one day. But
okay.
But here is what I would say to you. I had a ton and still a ton of things I can do. You know, I've always been a kid. If I wanted to do it, I did it. And because my mind was so blinded to whatever other folks thought, I could do it. And it didn't make a difference what they thought about it or if they thought I could or couldn't. Well, that, you know, kind of carried me through my life, which is what has brought me the success that I have today and the things that I have achieved. But what I found out was, it wasn't until I found my purpose in God in terms of knowing that I was, first of all, a pastor. Well, a good bit of the things that I could do were absorbed in that performance. When God promoted me to be a prophet, I found out a whole other dimension and a lot more of the intangible things that I could do, the effective things that I could do. They were added to what the pastor had allowed me to pull into. Because right now, you know, your gifts and talents are like marbles in a bowl, and they just spread all over. But once you put them in that right place, they become effective. And so then, but when I entered into the office of apostleship and had to start something from scratch and stay with it, which was not my strong suit, even when I started the pastorate, that's when everything that I had and learned to do, what all came into focus, and they all came into use, and they began to interact and synergize with each other. And so God literally took all of those things that I was able to do all over the place, and he brought them into that one project. And so I say to you that you have a project coming, and it will be a test project. This project will require you to synthesize all of the things that you did for everyone else over here and you did for over here and your exploratory things and all of that. You are coming into a project that will enable you to synthesize what you're doing and what you know in one end result. It's that one product that will enable you to kickstart the purpose for which you were put on the planet. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
That's what you're facing now. So God is putting that in you. And I would venture to say you're dreaming it. You're seeing it in vision, in clips.
Yeah.
You know how you're seeing it in clips. And why are you seeing it in clips? Because he's literally embedding it in your soul and in your psyche so that you, when it happens, you'll do it and you won't quit. Now, here's the thing you want to be careful about, Pam. You want to be careful about trying to go forward and looking backwards.
Okay.
Regrets are not going to help you at this point. Whatever you did, you did. However way you did it, you did it. You did it for the reasons you believed that were right. Well, okay, now those reasons have expired. That whole thing expired. That's done. We're going to pull the wisdom out of it, you know, like you do with a resume. When, you know, what is a resume but you pulling the wisdom and the excellence out of what you lived? So you're going to pull the wisdom out of it. You're going to note it, catalog it with your other abilities and attributes and be ready to offer them to this project. But God says there is a project that you are very soon about to be drawn into, and you will say no because you will think you're giving yourself to somebody else, and you're not.
Okay.
So be open, because you know you'll blow it off because you so don't want to repeat history that you won't even give it the time and the consideration that you usually do. Because you do give things time and consideration. You really do. You think things through. Even though this thing you did, you thought it through. You just didn't think it was going to last as long as it did. But you thought it through. And so God said, you know, God says you're going to have to count the cost. On this here, but if you go, when this person presents it to you, do not say, you know what, I've given my life to a lot of things, I've helped a lot of people, and now I need my thing. Because here's why I want you not to say that. Because no matter what you end up doing in life, you will not do it alone. We can't achieve great things single-handedly. We cannot do it. It is an impossibility. The Godhead is the Godhead, because they discover you can't achieve great things single-handedly. So we have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You realize that?
Yeah.
And so we teach people that they can do things single-handedly, and what they actually end up doing is taking credit for something that other people are helping them do that they have ignored. So we ignore or diminish the help that God puts in our life or the contributors to our success. We ignore and diminish those because we have been blinded and convinced that we are doing this single-handedly. You're not. You need a team. You're going to need friends. You're going to need contacts. You're going to need relationships. You're going to need expertise of people who have done gone this way before. So the first thing I want you to do, because I don't want you to come out of this situation where you're trying to work yourself into a lot of self-disappointment, I want you to release that. Let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to say, okay, now, God, where's my next place? And that place can't be a vacuum. Because if it's a vacuum, you're still not going to get done what you want.
Okay.
So when this thing happens, I'm speaking to you because I'm hearing in the spirit, you are so resolved to not repeat history that you're going to repeat it in reverse. And many times we do that. We repeat history in reverse. Well, this way, we did it, and that was the outcome. We'll end up getting the same outcome with a reverse set of circumstances and actions. So I don't want you to do that. You cannot be successful alone. You just won't. I'm telling you, you cannot. Nobody can single-handedly pull off anything good. We can't even make dinner by ourselves. We need that utility company. We need the phone company. We need the supermarket down the corner. We need the knives that somebody made, the dishes somebody made. We need that stove. You see what I mean? And so we don't have to thank all of those people because they're there. But all of those people, in order to bring us that product, have a lot of folks to thank and have a lot of folks to work with. So I want you to get good at that. The second thing, I want you to start going to business luncheons and business meetings that are open to the public, you know, those kind of business groups. I want you to start doing that because you have to get back out there and get your feet wet. So you want to get back into the flow of it and learn what it is. Start doing that. And then find the one that best suits you for you to join. The next thing that I don't know where there's a, and I don't know why I'm saying, but I do know why, so I'm not going to explain it. But, you know, wherever there is a, in your school, a college or a university in your area that's holding those kinds of developmental sessions, go to them. Not because you need the knowledge, because I'm not implying that, because you need to have it awakened again.
Okay.
Because you don't realize how much of what you do you remember only pieces of, because so much of it was put to sleep because you didn't need it. You filed it away. So now we want to get your fires burning. We want to get that stimulation going again. We want to get you kicked up where you get energized. So my suggestion to you is that you want to swim in that pool. You know? And then you have you can also start working at, you can volunteer some of your time, because remember, we're giving you, now, this is the plan, we're giving you connections, we're giving you open doors again. You have, you know, a lot of times we think all of this stuff is supposed to come to us. No, we pursue it. You have to go to the school. You know what I mean? And if you don't go to the school, you have to go to the internet and let them send you some food, okay? So you have to go to the store. So God is saying to you, I want you to start you already are a servant, and you served your friend, and that was great. Okay, fine, we did that. But now you need to volunteer. Use that skill. You said CEO, helping other people business. Then find a place where you can help people get started. Either, I don't care if it's, you know, a place where you're going to counsel people for grants, whether it's going to be kind of like with the SCORE folks that donate their time or some other group in a college or whatever. But give a little bit of yourself so that you can position yourself to be known for what you do.
Gotcha.
Because no matter how great you are, Pam, no matter how much you have helped those people, you must be known by the wider community for what you do. People are just not going to pick your name out the air.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It kind of filters through all the different things I've been searching, doing. And I'm thinking now, like, I need to get out there. So, you know, like I said initially that I said, I want to be strategic, use my time wisely, you know, go to where I need to go. And, you know, I get it. I definitely, this definitely syncs with me.
Yes. I mean,
I'm ready.
There's a lot you can do. You can come up with some training tools to help college kids or high school kids. You can come up with a little community, be a help to your community center. You can do the little 4-H. I'm using those as theories. I'm not telling you to do that. But I'm saying that our whole idea of if God wants us to do it, he's got to make it happen. God can't make it happen if we sit at home praying. Prayer is good, but why pray if you're not going to walk out what you just prayed?
Exactly.
You know, so we're going to get you back out there. You want to get the thing you want to do is circulate. The Holy Ghost gives me this word for you. He says circulate your business expertise. Circulate it, you know,
okay.
And so you can pretty much cycle it through the whole community so that you get known for that, so that when you're sitting down in meetings and contributing to conversations or you're speaking having conversations or discussions in that various settings, whether it's over lunch or whatever, your wisdom will be heard and recognized. People can take note of you. And in order for folks to take note of, to notice you, you have to do something to make them take note. And that means you need to be on site. So I hear God saying, you know, go through, I don't know, and he says he's going to talk to you more about this later on, because he's going to begin to take you by your hand and guide you to the places that you want to go. He said, but I want you to be willing, but don't go with this grudging, vengeful attitude that I'm not letting anybody use me again. A lot of saints do that, and so what God does is leave them sitting at home waiting for him to come up with the single-handed feat that they can carry out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to do that. There is no way you're going to do, not with all you have, you're not going to do that single-handedly. It's not going to happen, and if you do it single-handedly, guess what? You're going to have to maintain it single-handedly. And after you have to maintain it single-handedly, you're going to alienate all the other people who have a part in your success. So this thing here was very good for you. You needed all of this. So I'm excited about you. I'm excited about where you're going. You're going to do well, but you're going to have to go with a free heart and a clear heart in this matter. And you're going to have to, even that time you spent caring for someone, it worked certain things in you emotionally, you know, that you need it. It works certain sentiments in you that you need it. But you cannot look at your life as a waste. That's what we as Christians do. We look at our whole life as a waste instead of a huge data gathering thing. You literally gather talent and you gather experience and exposure that when applied to the right project, going to serve you well. So we're looking for a project. You're not looking for what you need to discredit. You're looking for a project to upcredit everything you did.
Okay. Well, I like that.
And not only do
I'm looking for a project to accredit. Oh, wow. That's a nice thing.
Well, because we're always looking for discredit. You know, I finished assessment, it accredited my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care if anybody liked it or didn't like it at the time. It was like I was able to use all of the years, the tears and the fears, brought it all together, and that project accredited my whole life of seemingly scattered, unrelated tasks and activities. Brought it all into one. And for those of you who are listening today, stop looking for what discredits what you gave from your heart and what you did. You are on the planet. You had to live until you die. You needed to do something. So let's just find out what that something is and what it was a part of. And so God has taken all of those. As I'm looking at you right now, Pam, I see this clay, and I see the Lord is working on this lump of clay, and he's got all of these little clumps of clay laying on this work table, and everything you did was he picks it up, and he puts it into this mold that he is sculpting right now. And so what you just finished, that 7 years or so that you did, he's now putting that in your mold for the project, because he's sculpting a person who can handle something specific for him. And you needed all of that to qualify and equip you to do this thing for him. I needed all that I lived to do what I'm doing for him right now. And there's not one thing. You know, I always laughingly tell people, I had a job once, you know, because I used to temp and whatever, but I had a job once, and I think the low of low jobs that I had was I was hired to count fingers on gloves. I was so upset. I know, talk about coming through. That was what I did all day long. I sat on this assembly line, and I counted the fingers on these white gloves because, the machine would have a mistake. So I learned, but you know what I learned how to do? I learned how to notice things quickly, look at stitching, et cetera, because, you know, everything like that is a quota. But, I mean, something as silly as that, I talk about that because those things are important. I remember that, you know, what we do with Microsoft Word, you know, the cut-paste thing they have in Microsoft Word.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for insurance companies manually. I cut strips of sentences out and glued them on pieces of paper and put the white out on them so they can go through the machine and reproduce a contract. That's why cut and paste made perfect sense to me. But think about that. Who would have thought that me doing that all those years ago ended up today with me fully understanding how to do the word processing? At that time, all I saw was boredom, but it was a paycheck and food on the table. So I'm saying to you, nothing you did is lost. You have to allow God to open up your mind to see where it fits in your present and where it can help in your future. And I think that God has me spending this time with you, beloved, because there are a lot of people out there need to hear this. And so I will repeat it. Stop looking for the things that you did that discredit you and start paying attention to what you did that will accredit what God has called you to do, because there's a lot of that in there. And that's where your credibility comes from. Your credibility is going to come from you may never tell anybody what you did. I mean, I hardly ever remember it. But you know what? That wisdom and that background knowledge, that background experience in your memory is working to feed into the wisdom that you're uttering today. So, ready for prayer, or do you have another question?
Yes, I am. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited because as you were talking, God is just calling things back to remembrance of what I did. I had a job where I was reproducing legal documents, and he's explaining to me how that even ties into your whole emotional integrity. It's even though it's, you know, I'm copying a document, it is someone else's document, you know, for a case. And how you handle that. You're not supposed to say anything about it, but even how you handle something as little as a document is important to somebody else. So, you know, it's just, I was entrusted with somebody else's, you know, confidentiality, trust, you know, what they didn't do, what they did do, but it's a big thing. And then to reproduce that, so we're supposed to reproduce that as well. So not just being able to hold in somebody else's, you know, trust and confidence in what they're giving us, but being able to reproduce that for someone else. If I talk to someone else, I expect you to have that same kind of social covenant with me, that if I share you my fears and weaknesses and all that, that you will do the same. You will not take that and, you know, mess it up, discard it, trample over it, and see it as gossip.
Mm-hmm. Or how about that? How about this? Take the people's confidences and their moments of vulnerability and turn them into weapons against them, which is what a whole other part of emotional integrity we don't talk about, where you begin to use it. I mean, that's what the whole underlying manipulation is all about, gaining as many clues to someone's weaknesses as you can so you can use them as weapons against them in the future. Well, that's not how God does business. But then he doesn't have to, because he knows everybody's business. So he already knows what's a weapon and what isn't. But we have got to be able to be integrous in how we handle the things that we are entrusted with, starting with our own lives, but more importantly, starting with our relationship with Him. You know, there's an integrity to dealing with God. There's a lot of times God doesn't deal with people more because their integrity, their emotional or spiritual integrity is such that they will misrepresent Him. They will take and, you know, tell the pieces that they like and throw the rest away. They will misunderstand even. Sometimes it's just a maturity issue. But that's one of the things that keeps God from talking to a lot of people, because He's like, it's not going to benefit me. And if it doesn't benefit me, it's not going to benefit you. So these are things that we're learning. I've enjoyed our chat today. You know, Pam, I was enjoying
our chat. I have, too. We've had our virtual cup of coffee.
We just did. Let me just give you some prayer. I know you'll pop in down the line and let me know how things are going. And if you can't get through, you know, post something on Facebook. I get it.
Okay,
put it in the
box.
Okay?
Definitely. Okay.
Father, thank you so much for Pam. Thank you, Lord, for who she is. Thank you for what she's done. Thank you for the life that she's led, but the work that you're doing in her. God, let her begin to pull this puzzle together so that she sees the whole picture and not just keep scanning her life, but looking at puzzle pieces, wondering how they fit together. I thank you, Lord, that you begin to visit her, that you finish the work that you began with her, and, Lord, that you bring about your glory. Now, the connections that she needs, God, we ask you to take full charge of that today in Jesus' name. You take order her steps, God, order even her search according to your will and according to your purpose, that she will end up where you need her to end up with. Cause her path to cross with those that she needs to connect with, and, Lord, cause them to hear each other. Let them hear her as you need, and let her hear them as she needs. And then, God, I'm asking that you would deliver her from the old garments, take away the old clothes and the old garments that she's been wearing of resentment and Lord, of just disappointment in herself, and God, outfit her in the new God that she needs to go forward. I thank you for doing it, God. We even change her angelic guard. We change her spiritual guardians, God, so that those that will see to her success are right now on assignment in her life. And, Lord, give her the sensitivity to be moved by your Holy Spirit as you need for what you want to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. You have an exceptional day.
You do the same. God bless you.
God bless you.
Ashley.
Amen. I like the virtual cup of coffee.
Oh, wasn't that great? Did you get a sip? You should have gotten a sip.
You know, I did. I'm all about coffee, so I'm going to get it anywhere I can.
I know it. I know it. Well, Ashley, here's what I want to do. Let's take a little break.
Yep.
And then we'll come back and take another call.
All right.
Have you ever wondered, why do I hear from God? Is what happens when I pray normal? Why do I think so differently? Is my relationship with God unusual? How do I explain my experiences with God? Does anyone else experience these things? I have so many talents, but how do I find my purpose? I know I'm called to ministry, but where do I begin? These daily questions lead to one solution. Introducing the Standardized Ministry Assessments Series. What was on God's mind when He made you? Find out how our assessments can help you uncover your greatest mystery, you. Our standardized ministry assessments consist of 800 ministry-specific questions, 114 ministry-based categories, 50 ministry classifications, a comprehensive gift analysis, fivefold office identifiers, automatic response indicators, targeted benchmark scoring, automated result interpretations, custom readiness path options, call-specific recommendations, personal ministry advisement. Is this basically a personality test? No. Your results are custom designed and not based on the traditional data used to determine your personality type or IQ. Instead, your results come from you, how you think, and what you believe, not predetermined categories into which you must loosely fit. Dr. Paula Price's nearly 25 years of research and experience see to that. How is this different from a spiritual gift test? Our assessments are not a test, and assess more than just your spiritual gift, what you are good at and may be interested in doing for your church. we help you define your ministry calling, how ready you are to do it full time, the type of training you need to do it well, and the best place for you to prosper, whether in or out of the church. They don't just give you a number, they give you a life plan. We offer three levels of assessments: the Ministry Assessment Questionnaire, the Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire, the Apostolic Diagnostic. So what's your ministry IQ? Discover yours today. www.drpaulaprice.com or call 877-649-PPMG.
Don't miss the annual Apostolic Summit with Dr. Paula Price. Join us for a weekend of explosive fivefold ministry training, apostleship branding, apostolic and prophetic collaboration, kingdom leadership, strategy sessions for the upcoming year, and so much more. If you are an apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, ministry leader, or apostolic student, then this event is for you. You will enjoy a variety of dynamic speakers during both the classroom-style sessions and the general sessions, as well as personal ministry and prayer. Call now to register and reserve your place. Special discounts are available. Call 877-419-1299 for more information or visit www.drpaulaprice.com to register today.
All right, we are back with the Paula Price Show and ready to kick off our second hour. We're going to come back a little bit later and tell you about the deals that are going on with the Apostolic Summit and registration. And Dr. Price, are you ready for the next person in line?
I am ready and enthusiastic, so let's go.
Okay. Well, we have next on the line here Kathy, and she is calling from Ohio. And she would like prayer for direction and insight and also concerning her job situation. So, Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Price. You know, I'm in a situation where I've been called, and I believe I am called. I started with your ministry on assessment. And however, I was in the hospital, and then I lost income. I didn't finish completing the procedure. But as of recently, I finished a master's. I talked with you sometime this year or last year in IT. And I've been on disability, and I haven't found a job. I graduated in July 17th of last year. And I was advised that I could take total and permanent disability for discharge of my lungs. And when I looked at what they were, I could not believe it. It was phenomenal. But I went to school for 12 years, part-time, on and off. And sometimes I had scholarships, and they gave me lungs, but it's like $131,000. And a prophesied over me that I was called in the ministry full-time and a prophetic. And then the Lord said, ask her the question you asked me, whether I should take the discharge of the loan amount or whatnot, and she said she felt from what the Lord had given that I was called into ministry full time. But I didn't want to renege on not paying my and then proceed that way. And if it didn't go through, then the Lord would bless with a job or something, whatever. But she was for quite sure the Lord was leaning towards that. But the thing I was looking for was confirmation, because I want to be accountable and responsible and use integrity with whatever I do. And I wanted to also, from today's teaching, which was excellent, you said development is not judgment, but is it equivalent to judgment? Because God corrects and rebukes and chastises us. I feel I've been chastised, and I'm thankful for it, because I feel that God was prepping me and pruning me. And in our situations and stuff, does it equate to what we do based on circumstances or just stepping out on faith?
Well, you know, you got quite a little cluster going on there, so I'm going to need to sort through, Kathy, what you said, because, see, you're like, I got on this call, I'm getting it all out. So I have to go back, sort through some of it. Okay, what is it that you want to know?
I want to know if I should move out in full-time ministry in the prophetic, and there's a confirmation of being a prophet, this 100% accuracy in what you say for the Lord, or can there be some trial and error, you know, in preference? I also want to be a purpose. I feel that I did well with IT, and I had some that I have an income of the disability, though, which isn't much, and I have some situations and circumstances where I have two incarcerated sons, and the other one who is suffering, he's with us now, but he's like with his sister and then with a mental disorder, and I want to be able to contribute to them financially and be prepared for if I should leave the world without rapture, that they can have some type of financial basis or income to rely upon.
Okay, so the first thing you want to know is, I'm getting it together, should you go into full-time prophetic ministry? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay, the next thing you want to know is, if you go into full-time ministry, will that confirm the words of this prophet? I mean, you're trying to go into ministry because the prophet said it?
No, the Lord had called me and had been preparing me and dealing with me. I got ordained last year as a prophet.
No, listen. Kathy, listen to me, baby.
Yes, ma'am.
If you keep giving me a lot of information, I'm not going to get to the point, because I need to get to the point so I don't confuse what I'm answering. So I want to know, are you in part-time ministry now?
Sort of. Yeah.
Now, what does sort of mean?
Huh?
Sort of meaning you do it when somebody calls you, you do it when you get an opportunity, or you're assigned to a church. Which is it?
I'm at my church, and they do use me in the prophetic, and they have me in the ministry of way down, and they look towards me to give what God gives me, and I've been going as they call and leave me. The Lord said he would open up doors for me to speak to make my forte the feast in the end time ministry.
Okay.
I got a call to the Sears conference. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now listen to me. Here's what I want you to know. Number one, you do need to finish that assessment. If you found money enough to do all those other things, you need to find those 2 pennies to finish that assessment so that you know what you are. Because you are, just because they use you to say a word, and just because they use you to prophesy and you go through a lot of a Sears conference, does not mean that you are ready for full-time ministry. It means that you perform prophetically from time to time. So
your assessment that was a couple years back said I was in, my gifting was in the prophetic. I was, you know, was confirmed.
Listen to me. Let me finish. I'm really good at this, and I want to finish. Now, you have been through a lot. You've got so much going on in your life. You need to just take 3 good breaths and exhale, because you've got a lot going on. I see a lot of hits on you. I see a whole lot of setbacks. You got this health thing going on. You've got the kid thing going on. You got the money thing going on. And I want to address these in a holistic fashion, if you would let me.
Yes.
Okay. You've got a lot going on. And in the midst of it all, you're looking to find validation. Because of all of your hits, you're like, God, tell me that there's something that I can do well. Something is going to help me.
Amen.
Something's going to change my life. So you have this whole validation quest going on. And I need you to let me finish what I'm saying. Now, here's what I'm talking about. You realize that, now you said you worked for, what did you say you graduated from, what school?
Kaplan University online, but I also had attended some very good academic schools in person. You know.
Okay. So what is your degree in? What is your
information technology security?
Okay, information technology and security. Okay. Now let's talk about that. You when you said that was your area, I'm with you on that. Now, did you just qualify for that because you had experience? Or did you qualify for that because you had a feeling? How did you qualify? And answer me quickly.
I got into it because I was running a scholarship in chemistry for non-traditional adult junior women. And then when one son took sick, I prayed the Lord led me to go online and take information technology. So that program,
that
was online, you went in person, and then I got my graduate degree in it. But I have no experience in it.
Okay, so listen to me. Listen to what you said. I got the call. I got the feeling. I went to school. I got a degree. And then I entered the field. Is that what you told me?
I haven't entered the field yet.
Okay, but you got the education for it. You qualified for it, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I want you to master yes and no with me so we can get through your issue. Okay, I want you to really master that yes and no, because I don't want you to leave here me not giving you the information. So listen to what you just said. You said, I had a feeling, or I got the unction, however way you got it, you went to school and you got a degree in it. But yet, because of some casual encounter with somebody in the spirit, you want to go into full-time prophetic ministry with no trainer and no experience and no exposure other than giving the word now and again in the church. You realize that there's a disparity in how you think this is going to play out. You, and we do this to God all the time, you would have never thought of doing information technology or security or chemistry or anything else without proper training and going the proper route. Why? Because they have systems in place that won't let you jump it. And, I mean, you can do things casually, but if you want to do things professionally in the secular environment, you've got to go through the process. Full-time ministry is not going to rescue you. I want to say that to you right now. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. Full-time ministry is not going to rescue you. If you don't remember another word I tell you today, I want you to remember that word, because we need to stop giving people the impression that full-time ministry is a rescue or a refuge. It's neither. It is work. It is hard work, and it takes a long time to build it up. And since ministry is more intangible than it is tangible, it takes twice as long for people to know what it is that you do or for what you know how to do to bear fruit to somebody's advantage. When you go to school, that thing is obvious. They've got professors, they've got curricula, they've got programs and activities that say this is what this field calls for, this is what you need to know to fill it or to perform in this field, and these are the standards that you need to maintain. When you come into God, that's not always the case. But I'm telling you, full-time ministry is not a refuge. And it's not going to rescue you, because it's going to put more stress on your life and more wear and tear on your body. So that's the first thing I want you to do. So whatever you have going on that's taking care of your finances, you need to keep that. Now, you can start full-time ministry part-time and start, you know, first of all, I think you need training in that, too. Well, I'm the one who developed the programs for prophets and apostles. I know you need training. But I also know that there are a lot of other things that are going on in your life that needs to be settled. I want to talk to you. You asked a statement about judgment. You said, I know you said it was development, but can it be judgment? Let's just get judgment on the table. Because judgment and consequences are not the same. They're not synonyms of each other. A judgment is a decision. A consequence is the effect or outwork of that decision. So the outworking of that decision is your consequences. But a judgment is merely a decision. You do judgments every day. Do I wear the red dress or the green dress? Do I take my car or do I take the bus? Do I eat burgers or do I eat eggs? Every second of our life, we're rendering judgments. We're making a decision. And that decision is the effect of what we judge, what we decide in advance that is best for us for the moment. So this whole idea that if judgment, you know, even when on TV, like, who are you to judge me? Are you king? You render opinions all day long. Everything about our life is an opinion. Whether it's how to wear our hair, whether to wear makeup, whether to go to the salon, whether to lose weight, whether to just ignore people, those are all decisions. 24/7, if you stayed awake 24/7, you would make judgments every second, probably two or three times a second, because that's how life is. Life is built on judgments. But where there are options and where there are alternatives and choices, there will always be judgment. You can't get around it. People have an opinion. I agree, I disagree. That's a judgment. So that's the number one thing I want you to know. Consequences are an effect of judgment. That's what happens after you render a judgment. Then you have a sequence that goes along with that judgment. See, con with sequence, consequence. So they go along with judgment. They come out of judgment. So now that I've decided I'm going to wear the red dress, now I'm going to go and put on this red dress. I'm going to meet five people who don't like red, and the consequence of me making a decision of that red dress was that I was going to hear five people tell me they did not like it, because they, too, have an opinion. And so their opinion and how I respond to it is the consequence of me deciding to wear a red dress today. So that's what judgment is. Now, developments are something different. Developments are, everything comes out of judgments. I've already said that, but development is to produce a product, to take something from its raw state and to put it in an approved state, to take a weakness and make it better, to take ignorance and turn it into knowledge, you know, to take inability and to make it capability or ability. So that's development. When God is disciplining us, and the word discipline is powerful because it actually means to make one a disciple, okay? So when God is disciplining us, he's discipling us to his way of life. He's discipling our thoughts, our behaviors, our decisions, etc. So now to answer that question for you, Kathy, judgment and development are not synonyms, but neither are judgments and consequences. One is an effect of the other. That's the next thing. The last one I want to tell you is that you, if you have an opportunity to work, then work. Can you do your job like over the internet? Can you do virtual information technology? Can you do that?
Can I do what?
Can you do your job in information technology over the internet? You say you, because you clearly said, unless I misunderstand it, you're clearly saying you're disabled. You can't go to work.
I'm not physically disabled, but yes, I can. I got contacted by a few. One very reputable international corporation right from my hometown, which is 35 minutes away from where I live. And I didn't get the job. That sort of blew my mind when I had told the Lord, just have them call me because I heard it was a good. And they did. And so I said, well, maybe that wasn't meant to be. But I can do on the internet. I'm looking at different avenues, even though I do security. Sometimes I do programs of the like, stuff like that for churches. And, you know, they give me something, and I did tickets and stuff like that. I know how to use the software. But what I study hard and with intent is that I have an analytical side with the security aspect. And with my condition, it might be hard for somebody to put me right at insecurity, you know. And,
yeah, you're not going to do security. That's not going to happen physically, obviously, because, you know, you kind of need to breathe for that, you know. You're not going to be able to do that, but you do have that information technology, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Then that's what
I
would suggest you focus on that. You know, if you can't eat the, can't have the whole pie, take as much as you can. Work with that. The first thing I want you to do is that. Secondly, if you feel like you're called to the prophetic, then get trained. You felt like you were called to information technology. The first thought in your mind was to get trained. I don't understand that when it comes to God, our first thought is to do. But when it comes to man, our first thought is to learn. So I want
to be trained. That's why I had contacted your ministry 2 years ago before I started the IT. And then I had ran out of resources at the time. And then, you know, got sidetracked with school and whatnot like that. It was very beneficial, the part that I got through. I got the prophetic dictionary by you. I have that. And I was I had downloaded some information, things I had gotten. My computer crashed, and when the guy cleaned it off, he had taken some of that off.
Listen, we're still up and running. We're better than we've ever been. So go to my website, drpaulprice.com, starting all over again. And you found the money to get that information technology degree, you'll find the money for the assessment because you seem to be resourceful enough to do that. So I want you to do that. But I want you to understand, you need to stay with whatever is giving you an income. That's God's word for you today because you do need that, and you need to continue to provide for your family. So I'm going to tell you my recommendation. Get the assessment, finish it, talk to an advisor, find out how you can get trained if you believe the prophetic is your call. But I also want to go on record to say to you and everyone listening today, you know, prophetic ministry, it does not have to be either or. You can, you know, unless you're going to work for a church or you're going to be a part of a prophetic network or a prophetic company full-time or you're going to be engaged by a Christian kingdom business to be that prophet watch person over that work, then you can hold down a job secularly and still do your ministry office. So, again, do not decide that you're ready for full-time ministry because you're not, and you're not going to do well in it, and it's going to frustrate you, and it's going to affect your health. So you don't want to do that. You want to take your time and work yourself into that a little at a time, here a little, there a little. Work yourself into it because it's more than just giving the word now and again. I know because I do it. I know because I've trained people to do it, and anybody who's on the phone who's a prophet today will tell you it's a lot more than that. So in the spiritual warfare alone, it's going to wear you out. I mean, that's a lot of warfare that you're going to face, and it seems like you got a lot going on anyway. So yeah. I'm going to pray for you now, and that's what I want you to do. I've given you my counsel, and I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to hear me, but I will leave you with this thought. Ministry is not a refuge, and it's not rescue. It's work, and I need us to change our mind about that. Let me pray, baby. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Kathy. I thank you for her life. First of all, Lord, I'm asking that you would have mercy in her situation, God, and give her a healing, and, Lord, at least to ease her dysfunction and her disorder in capacity. I'm asking, God, that you take over her life right now and begin to lead her in the way everlasting and in the steps that are profitable and prudent for her. I'm asking that you would do it, Lord, if you are our provider, so I'm asking that you release your providences by mercy and grace, and that you would allow her needs to be met. Lord, give her opportunities to do it over the internet, and give her, even open up a door for her to be able to go physically to do what she needs to do. And Father, I thank you for doing it. I bless her life. I bless her sons and her family in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Don't forget what I said. Go take that assessment. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
All right.
Are you there, Dr. Price?
I am here. I am here. I am not leaving until 1 o'clock.
Excellent. Well, since you're still here, I have an old friend on the line for you. Apostle Gray is on the line from New York. He is back from the dust. Welcome back to the show, Apostle.
Hello? Did we lose her?
His line is open, Apostle Gray.
He's probably muted.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You were muted.
I was wondering when you were going to get to me. I was sitting here. I was like, what is going on, Lord? My God. Long-winded today, man. Long-winded today. Jesus.
Well, now listen, if you said that means you're going to be quick, fast, and in a hurry today, right?
You are funny, Apostle.
Yeah.
I'm always straight to the point, but it's always good drinking from the well of generals. You know, it's always good drinking from the well of generals. I was learning as I was hearing how you were detecting and dismantling the problems that the people were having, and it was really good wisdom, and even the teaching was very profound and so strong, very informative, a good way of looking at the way you were sharing it. I've been counseling a couple of people, and they are running back and forth, dipping and dabbling, and not really living for God, and I told them just because the judgment of God is slow, that doesn't mean that you can constantly keep using 1 John 1:9 as a revolving door. So that teaching that you're teaching today is very powerful. Just because God is love, that don't mean that we can do what we're supposed to do and expect him to bow down to our standards and accept our ignorant behavior. So I like that teaching. That was good.
Amen. Well, thank you. Hey, it's good to hear your voice again. How can I help you today?
I'm just calling in for prayer for marriage and even for to stay focused and do what the Lord has called me to do with ministry. He's opening up doors, and I'm to That's about it.
Well, yeah, you got a lot going on. You've got a lot of places that you've been and folks that you're visioning and whatever. Now, what do you want me to pray about marriage? Is there anything in particular?
Yeah, me and the wife is believing the Lord for our first house. We're believing him for our first home, for our first home.
That sounds exciting. Well, then let me pray. Father, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, I always thank you for the privilege of praying for your people and your leaders and even, Lord, praying your will and your purpose in their lives. I appreciate that. I think it's a wonderful privilege. And, Lord, I count it a great trust. And so now today, God, I stand with Apostle Gray and his wife. They're asking for favor in a home. I'm asking, God, that you would grant, because you are the possessor of heaven and earth, that you would grant them to have success in this endeavor. God, I'm asking that you would find the monies that they need for the down payment. I'm asking that they would be in the place that they should be. God, I'm also asking that they don't get in over their heads, because then it'll be another prayer for you to work another miracle. I'm asking for you to take charge of this situation from beginning to end, and, Lord, cause it to align with what you have decreed to be wisdom and prudence on their part. I'm asking for favor with the realtors, favor with bankers, and favor even with the community they will be moving into. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
How's that?
That was blessed. Anytime the prayer comes from the general, it's always blessed, because it's always answered before it's prayed.
Amen. Amen. Well, then, I'm glad to hear that. Well, it's good to hear from you. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, just for ministry, to stay focused. I'm pastoring now, and the church is growing, and we're going to need a place, because it's in my living room now, so we're going to need a place. We're going to need a building. And just that the right relationships keep coming, right relationships.
Well, then we ask God for that. God, I stand in agreement. You know what he's offering. And, Lord, he has a lot on the altar right now, and even things on the altar he doesn't even know how to name a voice. So I'm asking, God, that the things that he's put before you today, God, even the success of this church, the stability of this church, their relocation in the appropriate place and in the appropriate time, and, God, also that he's right, that his connections do not disconnect him from you, that his connections will keep him on point with you in the purpose and destiny that you have decreed for his life. And I thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, I want to tell you, before I let you go, as I was praying for you, you have a lot on God's altar. But the Lord's saying to tell you, even though you have a lot on his altar, he said, make sure that you prioritize and that you don't go after everything at one time. Because when we are effective in God, that we because God favors with us for a project, we can overextend ourselves, not only financially or physically, but also spiritually. And God said, be a good steward over the faith that he has given you. Meter your faith out, and don't allow yourself to be caught up in doing everything all at once. And I just keep hearing him say that. He's given me Solomon. You know, the Bible says Solomon first built the Lord's house. David first built the Lord's place, and then he went and built his own. So God is saying, prioritize your pursuits and your efforts so that your faith will carry you through all that you have to do, especially with a new church. My experience with the new church is that you know, if you get a building, make sure you get something that fits what they can do, because you can't assume that those people are going to stay there for all of the years that you want to get engaged in a building, you know, or committed to a building. You can't assume that they're going to stay there. This has to be based on what your faith is to keep them, and their faith is to stay with what you're doing. So that's just, hey, that's just free wisdom. I don't know where it fits, but he just told me to tell you.
I receive it. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. God bless you. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Bless you, it's the apostle. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, good to hear from him.
Yeah, good to hear from Apostle Gray. He's definitely one of your longtime listeners.
Yeah, he goes back to before Blog Talk.
Yes, he does, when he would just blow through the call and mow everybody down.
I know it. Well, how are we doing, Ashley? Do we have time for one more call? I know you must have a couple of announcements. You said you were going to talk about a couple of things.
We do. You have another caller, and we do have our announcements. Want to take a minute to highlight the Apostolic Summit that is coming up November 21st through the 23rd, and that is for the entire fivefold. Just because apostolic is in the title doesn't mean it's just for apostles. It is definitely for the fivefold. We're having what appears to be mounting up to quite a significant return of Tulsa Prophetic Forum registrants coming back for the summit, bringing more of their people because of the effectiveness of the training, and the whole setup of the event is about learning and education. about the topics at hand. And so that is November 21st through the 23rd here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You'll want to come in on that Wednesday, because Wednesday night there is orientation and prayer, a much needed part of the event as well. And it goes through Saturday afternoon. Right now, we have a buy one, get one free through September 10th. And that would be buy one, get one for $125. It's a steal of a deal. This is the only time we are doing it. So don't try and wait us out until the very end and see if another crash sale happens. It won't. And so it's buy one, get one through September 10th. We also have, Dr. Price, group registrations of 10 or more in your group is $75 per person. So even if you have a large group, you're coming after that buy one, get one, or during, it's $75 a person for that. So you don't want to miss that. Couples rate, $85 per person, and that's regularly. And so don't miss that buy one, get one. It's a huge success. We had a tremendous amount of registrants in our last event. Take advantage of that. And so the Apostolic Summit coming up in November here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Dr. Price is going to lay it down. And pick up, I think, where you left off at the forum. Throw that apostle's mantle on it and really settle these generals.
Oh, it's wonderful. I absolutely love the summit. I love all of the events. But one of the things that we'll do in the future, we'll start having some of our guests come on and chat with you. That'll probably happen somewhere around mid to late September. And then we're going to, you know, we'll give you clips of what God talked about. Because you might think that the two events are the same, but we learned that Jesus truly has and truly makes a distinction between how he manifests prophetically and how he manifests apostolically. And it's not the same, and you don't know it until you attend it. First of all, I'm excited about all of our forum returnees already deciding to be a part of the summit in November. That's powerful. But also, I'm excited about the new lineup that we're going to have. We have a lot of new things going on in this particular event because God is shifting it so it fulfills his predestined purpose. I wanted to say that. Other thing I wanted to tell you is, for those of you who are apostolic and prophetic leaders, if you're an apostolic or prophetic senior leader, that means that, you know, you're not just coming out getting started tomorrow. You've got a real work going on and in a position of authority and decision-making in your ministry. I want to extend an invitation for you to contact us at drpaulaprice.com to be considered to be a member of my closed chamber executive apostolic retreat. Now, these are very small. There are only a few spaces left. When I say small, I mean small, because you don't train giants in big venues. And so if you feel like there is the next level of God for you, you feel like you want to be a part of getting the mind of Christ for the next dimension of what he's doing, these are closed sections. They are invitation only. That's how exclusive they are, invitation only. Then I want you to contact and say, I have one plan for the end of September. Your schedule is clear. Then I want you to contact me and say, you know, Dr. Price, I think I should be a part of that. And then we're going to find out. There's just a little bit of a questionnaire to see if you would fit, because we don't want to drown you with information, and we also want to give the information to people who can act on it. So if you're in that position, if this fits you, let me know. I am extending an invitation for you to at least contact me for it. Now, if it fits you, hey, you'll be a part. If not, we'll schedule you for future ones. But this is something that I'm very excited about. The response has been positive, but you need to be in a position to make decisions, to wield authority, to render final judgments in the work that you do and the ministry that you are occupying right now. Cannot be you're doing it, well, you know, I'm just trying to help out in the church. This is not for you. This is for high thinkers, high decision makers. Again, contact me, drpaulaprice.com, or you can Facebook me and say, you know, I would like you to be considered for this. I would love to consider you. It is, again, very exclusive, invitation only, and it's closed. So this is not a conference, rather. It's a venue for you and people like you and me to get together and hammer out what God's going to do in the future and equip ourselves for it. Hallelujah. Well, Ashley, we covered a lot today, didn't we?
Yes, we have. And if people do inbox you or email you to request information to register for that, make sure you put in your email address with your first and last name and your phone number. So we have that. Well, at least your email address and your name, so I can email it to you. The form then will collect all of your other information.
Excellent. Now, before I take my next caller, all of you all who are on the phone in the Chicago area, near Chicago, can drive to Chicago, I am going to be in my church in Joliet, Illinois, the first week of October, and we're doing a kind of summit there. I want to meet you. I love the Chicago people. I cannot tell you how much I love Chicago. First of all, I love Chicago. Man, they got some of the best restaurants. I'm telling you. Okay, let me get back on point. Don't they? I mean, unique stuff. I don't know, but they just got a good cluster of chefs and restaurants there that I absolutely love. But I don't just go there to eat. Hallelujah. We're going. I'm a part of some of you might have been seeing it on Facebook. They've been promoting it. Listen, it's going to be at Antioch Christian Assembly in Joliet, Illinois, with Apostle Nona Parker, who is the overseer there. And she's one of my daughters in the Lord. And I'm looking forward to it. So if you want to connect with me, you live in the Chicago area, you can drive there quickly. Hey, do that. That's where I will be. And Ashley, the dates are?
It's the first weekend in October, the 3rd and 4th, up there. It's called the Chicagoland Summit. And if you have been on Facebook, then you have seen the flyer with also Apostle Raphael Robinson up there. And we will have information up on your website. It's actually probably already up there for information for people in that area to connect with you. We cannot get enough of Dr. Paula Price. There's no such thing as too much wisdom coming forth out of this apostle's mouth. So plug in every time and every chance you get.
Amen. Hey, so now I'm ready to take my next caller, but actually I know I only have time for one more caller, and that's fine because I like that. But I want to tell you all, if it doesn't take me long to answer your question, fine. If it does, fine. I'm not here to rack up numbers. I'm here to dispense wisdom. We've been told over and over again, Ashley and I both hear it all the time, people learn from what we do with others. So I'm not going to hurry you, which is why I don't do a presbytery. I do a call because I want to minister to you. And you need to understand that when you get through, you don't want me to rush you either. Hallelujah. So
amen. I'll say amen for the people. Amen.
Amen. So let's go on. Who is my last caller for today?
Your last caller is Calvin from Virginia. And he is on the line today, Dr. Price, because he is seeking direction. He and his wife, they recently departed from their church because of some issues that were happening there, and they're looking for a new one. So, Calvin, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Price, for taking my call. God bless you.
Well, you are welcome, and I'm glad to have you on the call today. And I want to start out by saying bless you as well. That's a good way to start, right?
Yeah, it's a very good way to start.
Okay, now how can I bless you today in the name of the Lord?
Well, just like I believe her name is Ashley, just like she said, my wife and I recently departed from our church for some issues, but it was not just an easy cutoff. Number one, I was licensed as a minister, and not only that, but the pastor or the bishop was my father-in-law. So it was kind of a hard thing to do, and it wasn't him. He, great man, I love him. I could have stuck with him, you know, all the way through. But it was someone that he brought into the church that I believe was manipulating him and doing it very well. And she has done the same thing, I believe, to my wife, because she grew up. Well, my wife grew up underneath this person. And so I think the person was using my wife's weakness, my father-in-law's weakness, his wife's weakness, in order to get where she wanted to go. And from the beginning, I believe that I saw that there was a manipulative spirit. I believe that I saw that there was an I spirit, a me spirit. And I didn't quite attached to that, you know, like a lot of other people in the ministry did. And so not long after that, I wanted to leave, but because I didn't want to saw a rift between my wife and her father and her mother and some other people, I stayed. And then I got professional counseling, and I had to – it's a long, drawn-out story. So eventually we just did leave. And I'm at a standstill point now. It's been about 3 weeks. I'm at a standstill point. I'm seeking God. I don't know what to do. And here's the crazy thing about it. There are some people that we felt responsible to tell, some people we brought in connection with the church, some family members. Everybody told us, well, we saw that coming. Or everybody said, well, yeah, we noticed that about this person as well. And we're trying to figure out, well, how is it that all these people on the outside can see it? My wife and I can see it, but a lot of the people in the inside can't see it. But then we talk to the people in the inside, and everyone's telling us, yeah, we see, we understand, so y'all be blessed, and y'all go ahead. And it's kind of, it's just blowing my mind, and I'm just looking for some type of direction from God. We've been praying, and we even went to put names in church names in a cup and just pick one out to see where we're going the next Sunday, because we're not lost, but we just don't have any clear direction of where to stand still, I should say.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and, you know, if we don't cover ground today, we're going to make you first next week. How's that?
God bless you.
Yeah, because this is a healthy dynamic, and this is the kind of thing that many people are facing. So I want to ask you a couple of things. Number one, and let's see if we can we don't have a lot of time, but let's see how quickly we can get through it. Number one, what is the role of this person that your bishop brought in? What is their position in the church?
Well, if I could quickly answer with a few details, it's co-pastor. Now, okay. And when I say co-pastor, there's a lot of different ways that people view that title, co-pastor. But this person came in with a sort of like a totally different view of what that word means. And for the sake of time, I'll just kind of leave it at that. But she is the co-pastor.
So it's just, so he's the pastor.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
The bishop is the pastor.
Yes.
And then he brought in this person as co-pastor. Now, what is the bishop's wife doing?
She is the first lady. She actually, she serves in whatever capacity she finds, which is,
okay.
Yeah.
So she's not pastor. I mean, in other words, she's not Pastor Kalk, obviously.
No, she's not.
Okay, that's fine. I'm all right with that because that's normal. Now, let me ask you. So this woman is co-pastor. Now,
yes.
Co means split authority. Co means equal authority split between two people.
Right.
So he gave her equal authority split between two people.
Right.
All right. Now, the next question, now allow me to walk this through. Don't worry about it. We're going to cover you either this week or next week, but I want to walk this through because it's kind of important. Now, your position in the church was what? What did you do for this church?
Okay, I was licensed as a minister, and in that role, I was also the adjutant to the bishop.
So you were the adjutant, and you were a licensed minister. Now, why weren't you made the co-pastor?
Well, it's a long story, but I'm going to cut it short. I don't think I was in the running for it, but I was very close in the beginning of when the church started. And what happened was he brought her in. It's kind of crazy because they were in a church together, and then they left that church due to some issues. She became the pastor. He was the co-pastor. Issues between them, they split. He pastors now after so many years of being with someone else, and he's pastoring now, and now the roles have flipped. So, but he brought her in, and in her mind, I was not equipped. And in a way, I agree. So there was sort of like a pulling away there from me getting anywhere further than a minister in that
okay.
church.
So we got a couple of things going on. So you
yes.
are the son-in-law. You
yes.
you served him as an adjutant. She came in as an old friend, old familiar friend. And
right.
so he's returning a favor to her, apparently.
Yeah, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little political stuff going on. So he's returning a favor to her, and so and she's in your estimation, she's misrepresented it. And the people, it seems to be discerned by a large amount of people who don't care. Is that right?
Well, if actions, if doing something means you care, and not doing something means you don't care, then I would say they don't.
Okay. Now, how is your wife handling this? Since you were concerned about a rift being created between her and her dad.
Well, she's agreeing with it because of our health mentally, and her health mentally. But what's happened is we committed to certain things that was going on at the church, and I told her it was best that she not go. It's too early to just go and be a visitor. Just don't go. But she went to fulfill what she said she was going to do, and some things were said by this person. And so after she came back home, there were some phone calls, and she didn't address it. I'm trying to, and I don't want to be too hard on her, but I want to push her to address it if she's not going to be a slave to this. Because my wife has foregone her conscience in order to obey this woman. And that, to me, is a slave. So we're happy at home, but she's still having to deal with this stuff mentally and having to take calls from this person who is still considered family. So I don't really know
now,
how.
Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Did you all notify, did you leave, did you write a letter, did you resign from everything? Did you do it like that, or did
Actually,
you just not show up?
I sat down and talked with the bishop, and he accepted it. He was shocked, but he accepted it. And then afterwards, I officially wrote a letter after we went to a pastor friend of ours to sort of be our watch care covering. So, yeah, we went in a it wasn't anything, no fighting, nothing bad, but we did go, I believe, in the correct way.
Okay, I just have one last question. How old is this church?
This church is about, I believe this September will be 7 years old.
So it's a relatively young church?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because, you know, young churches, they go through a lot of changes. I mean,
yes.
It's kind of like kids. One of the things that I do hear, and I'm going to ask you to search your heart, before you left this church, can you say that you honestly prayed about this situation and prayed about this man's betterment? And I say honestly, and I don't want you to answer me perfunctorily. I want you to answer me from your heart.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and when you pray, what did God say?
That is one of the things that I really need. I haven't even, you got me at a loss here.
I know, really, I do.
Yeah, you have me at a loss.
I plan to be. That's what I was planning.
Good.
Because Good. Let me tell you something. I was planning that. I did it on purpose because I needed you to rethink some things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you stay with that church or not is not the issue. God's not dealing with that. But God is dealing with custodialship in you because that's what he's looking for. Even if God sends you to another church, the reason that this got on your nerves, the reason that this tore you apart, Kapart will be repeated and can be repeated, and you'll act the same way. So it's not good enough that you had an opinion of her and you had an impression of her. Right now I'm not dealing with whether or not it's right or wrong. We're going to talk about that a little later. But the fact of the matter is, if you had prayed for this man from your heart, God would have talked to you. You are angry, which is normal. Listen, this is not criticism because we all done it. Every one of us. I can tell you stories of things I did many times. I didn't find out how wrong I was for 15 years.
Right.
Wish I had known. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is not about that. But I'm telling you, if you had prayed for this man and this work from your heart, God would have talked to you because he talked to you about everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, why is God silent?
Great question.
That's what God wants you to do. You should not be comfortable being who you were in this organization and who you were to this ministry, and you're comfortable with God not telling you what's going on. Or you did not pray enough. I don't care if it was fasting and praying. You know, you're not leaving. Your leaving is not just a matter of, now, granted, how he handled that, I don't know. I'm assuming only from your side of the story, he brought her in abruptly. There's a way to bring in leaders the church folks have yet to learn. But let's just put all of that aside. You had this man's heart. You were his advocate. Your job, if you felt he was being spiritually manipulated, whether it was because of her feminine wiles or what, you had a place in prayer for him that could have at least told you what was going on. Because if he was surprised, you didn't pray. Because if your prayers were working, God would have been talking to him. Now, I'm not talking about a new Christian. You are not a new Christian. You are a brilliant man. I'm listening to the sound of your voice. You are a brilliant man. You are smart. You have spiritual influence with God. God has brought you through so many things, and you're not a stranger to God taking charge of a situation and leading you through it. So the reason that I'm asking you this is because I need you to not be comfortable with the fact that God didn't answer you.
Right.
Now, we're going to have to... We're gonna redo this because I only got 60 seconds. We're gonna redo this. I want you back on the line next week. Will you do that for me?
Yes, ma'am. I will do that for you.
Now I've already told Ashley you're gonna be first because I'm telling you. But I promise you, in this week, God is going to begin to break the seal on this thing for you because this is bigger than them. This is about who you're gonna be to God in the future.
Okay.
That's why I went this way with you. If you were somebody else, I would have said, yeah, okay, but not you. You are going to be somebody to God in the future. We've got to sort this out.
Right.
Fair enough?
That is more than fair. That is more than fair. God bless you, and thank you.
All right. Be my first caller next week. God bless you.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, we got to go, guys. We ran out of time, you know, but every now and then it happens. I'm going to be back on the phone with him because this is a very important issue to the king and the kingdom. I thank you for joining us. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.